Hello, everyone. I'm Trent Luce. Welcome to another edition of Rural Routes, the program where we gather every day at this time. Well, we do it Monday through Friday anyway. And what we do is discuss the issues between rural and urban America. You know, it's one thing to create dangers for students in today's world. It's another thing to do it in the name of ignorance. I was forwarded an email last night from my friend Clayton Peterson in South Dakota that shared with me the Daily Caller reports that California schools plan to cut all meat and cheese from their school lunch programs in the name of climate change. The science clearly demonstrates that kids must eat milk, meat, and eggs on a daily basis in order to build their cognition properly. In fact, Lindsay Allen, researching children around the world that did not have meat on a daily basis, she actually said that it should be considered child abuse or neglect and not feeding your kids properly in our school lunch programs are following down that path. Somebody that's been on top of that right here in our listening area, Jim Penny, Ainsworth, Nebraska, Husker Meats. I'm going to call you a pioneer because you were telling me about people donating beef, selling beef, making sure local kids and local schools have local beef. And all of a sudden now, a year after you were talking about it, everybody's talking about it. How's Jim and Husker Meats today?
Very good, Trent. Yes, we're excited about the program. We kind of started there last fall with several different schools in the area, and it's working out really great. Everybody's excited about it. Everybody's happy to have it there. Probably impressed the most with the producers because they're bringing top quality stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I didn't know what to expect. But so far, a lot of the cattle, most of the cattle, I could say, are grading choice that we're taking. So it's a great program for the kids, and the kids are enjoying it too. So
well, and it comes back to that long. That's maybe the longest introduction I've ever had on a show in 20 years, Jim. But I'm quite passionate about making sure that our kids are fed properly. And honestly, we're screwing it up. I don't care if it's local or not. We're screwing up their nutrition program. But when we have local people that want to step up and be a part of making sure these students have adequate fat and protein on a daily basis, we need to make it happen.
That's for sure. We have to work on the diet a little bit. True, I don't know where what level we need to go to, but we need to take it another step. To ensure, just like you're saying, we need to ensure that the proper protein, not getting by with a protein that has other things added to it. It's still protein, but it's not meat. So we need to make sure.
Called hamburgers? Is that what you're alluding to?
There you go.
Okay.
We need to be sure that we're providing a high protein muscle meat hamburger. Muscle meat and being meat that is ground from the whole animal. So we're not just putting lifter meat in there. We're putting in, it's ribeyes, it's strips, it's sirloin, it's round, it's chuck, and that just makes a wonderful burger. So
Jim, we kind of jumped into the middle. Take us back to how long has this been in effect and exactly how does it work? It's a USDA program with guidelines. Take us back to how it started.
Well, and the first thing that I want to tell everybody is that we do not sell the meat. We are a provider. We're a custom provider. So we will take the donated meat that already has been donated to the school, and then we'll take it and further process it for them. I think there's been a misunderstanding that we're buying the animals, selling the animals, and that is not true. It's all donated meat, and we're just doing a service to further process that meat, get it made to specs the way it's supposed to be, and then provide it to the school. It all started probably around a year ago. It came out, different people said, man, why don't you look into this program? And me being a producer as well as a packing house owner, I thought, well, shucks, yeah, this is a good deal. And as I got to looking into it, and you like it more and more. We had a meeting with several of the superintendents from the different surrounding schools, sat down, we had to go through all kinds of different guidelines and regulations and that type of thing so that everything was you know, set up, and so that everybody knew where, you know, where they were going to be. And we kind of decided there last spring that we would kind of work through this thing and try to get it started and get the thing up and going for the fall semester. So then we started out in July, starting to gather the cattle, get them processed, you know, get everything worked out. And most of the schools got their meat right there, you know, right before school, or at least right when school started. And since we didn't know, you know, nobody quite knew how it would go, went over very, very well. They're tending to need more meat than we've provided. There's the donors are out there, but we're going to try to speed that up. But we have to look at the different, the holding facilities for the meat in the different schools are different. They're all different. And to try to provide, you know, maybe instead of taking one animal every, you know, 2 months, we'll take two animals, depending on their storage, and that will get them up and run a little faster. But yeah, all in all, it's like any new program. It's had little hitches here and there, but all in all, everybody's been great to work with, the superintendents, the boards, the producers. Everything's been a really good deal. So that's kind of how it went up to now.
And to clarify, this is a USDA program. It's not state specific. Anybody in any state can be a part of this.
Yes, as far as I understand.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And the animals, when they're donated, do they need to go to a USDA-inspected plant?
Yes, they do. They have to be federally inspected. They do the E. coli tests. They do all the testing that any other hamburger, you know, across the United States would get. So it's not, you know, it's not something that's not gone through all the regulations.
Mm-hmm. Which, for listeners, depending on what state you're in, there's not going to be a common theme here, because in some states they have state inspection. A few plants have USDA inspection. That's the first question you need to ask if you want to be a part of this. Wouldn't that be fair to say?
Correct. Yep. You need to. You have to find out what the regs are in your state, and how, you know, how that would work for you. It's really, you know, as you start out, it's a little difficult as a new school starting out, but when you see and get into it, it's really not that, you know, if you find this way to streamline through and get, find out your information, it's not that difficult to get going with it. So, schools that have different organizations that provide meals, such as Lunchtime Solutions, that type of thing, they have a little more, there's a little more paperwork there. Schools that do not, have those providers, it seems like it's a little easier for them. I don't know, you know, I'm not that familiar with the system, but that's kind of what I'm seeing. Anyway,
I'm sure you have learned a tremendous amount about how school nutrition and school cafeterias work in the last year.
Yes, I have. I was very, very, very shocked. and my kids, which they're gone to college now, but, you know, all through high school, they come home and they have our meat and they go to school, and it's like, we really don't want to eat there today. And you know, and you're probably the same way. It's like, come on, you can eat that. Go ahead. And you never really took the time to look into it. And as you get in it and look into it, I can see, it's just that it's not as, the palatability, the different things, they're not really there.
No.
So anyway, yeah, it's great. And then, you know, I think that thing is set up, and don't quote me on this, but I think that thing is set up for a 1.99 ounce cooked burger. That's what we're giving our kids, you know. And you look at all these football teams, and you get these 200-pound football players, and you know these big old guys out there, and they are getting served a 1.9 ounce cooked finished burger.
Mm-hmm.
I know they don't eat like that at home.
Well, that's why they come home, rice through the door, run to the refrigerator, and try to find something to eat, because we're not
Correct.
Properly providing nutrition for our school students. We're feeding every kid like they have an obesity problem, And that's a recipe for disaster. But I've got to go to a break. Jim Penny, providing solutions. Husker Meats, Ainsworth, Nebraska. We'll continue to talk about what the opportunities are for you to be a part of your local school system when we return after this. All right, talking about beef, let's talk about live cattle on the hoof that are selling, not necessarily being donated, although you could buy one and donate it for your local school. Superior Livestock Auction. Oh, this would have been nice to tell you about yesterday. The Fed Cattle Exchange auction happened yesterday. Did you know that Superior is now selling cattle the auction way, the Fed cattle? Well, you could have watched the auction yesterday. I'll try to do a better job next time reminding you before it happens. But really, that's why you go to the website every single day. Keep abreast of what's happening. Find your rep. Look at the value-added programs. You can either even keep track of the weather or buy a jacket at SuperiorLivestock.com. The next video sale is 1 week from today, February 23rd. Comes to you from Oklahoma City. That's where I'll be tomorrow, by the way. SuperiorLivestock.com for full details. Welcome back to Rural Routes. I'm Trent Luce alongside Jim Penny. He's just up the road, 100 miles north of where I'm sitting right now, Ainsworth, Nebraska. Everybody knows where Ainsworth is. Jim, one thing I was curious about is that there's two things you said that I wanted to follow up on so I don't forget. I'm going to tell you right now. Not that I'm forgetful because I had my bacon and eggs this morning, but still. You mentioned the ribeye. Did you not tell me earlier that when an animal is donated from a local cattleman, that 100% of the animal must be ground into ground beef to be a part of this program? You can't pull the loins or the ribeyes out and have ribeye in school?
That's something we're working on. Mm-hmm. As of right now, you know, it's a totally ground beef. So everything is ground. I've had some folks, you know, ask about maybe saving some roast or something like that. That's something in the future that we're kind of, it's kind of a, you know, just like you said, it's a work in progress. Mm-hmm. We're working with it. I guess we're excited to be able to get in there with ground beef. And so, you know, then we can work from there. But right now, as per se, it's pretty much just totally ground, yes.
This seems like a sad day in school nutrition to take a choice quality ribeye, grind it up, and feed it to our kids as a hamburger.
It's very, very, very hard for me to do.
Yeah,
let's
forget about economics because that would retail for about what, $14 a pound. We're gonna
close to it. Yes, yeah. Yes. It's important to let the folks know that you know that meat is going in there. You know, I mean that's
right.
And that hamburger, I went to. Down here in Ainsworth, they had an appreciation type of meal with the kids, mm-hmm. and they let everybody that, you know, had anything to do with the program come in, and the kids all came in, and we all ate together, and, you know, you can really, I mean, the meat is really, you can tell, it's really good, mm-hmm. so, you know, we had a lot of fun with that, and a lot of the donors were recognized, different things like that. So,
is there a specification on the percent fat or percent lean? Is it like a 90-10, 80? I'm sure it's not an 80-20.
No, it is an 80-20.
It is an 80-20. Oh,
yes,
that's great
it is
news.
An 80-20. I guess if I could help the program any, I would try to get it up to an 85. But there again, we have to start out, you know, where we start out. So. Because you know some of the cattle that you run through that are naturally kind of an 85, a leaner type of, you know, really high quality animal, we've got to add a little bit of extra fat to them,
right?
To bring that back down to 80-20. So that's how the rule stands. So.
I'm actually shocked that they have it at an 80-20. To be honest.
Well, I kind of was too, but. That's, you know.
Oh, wait
that's
a minute.
We're
talking about the United States Department of Agriculture. Logic would not necessarily come into play, would it?
Well, no comment on that one. But
it's easy for me to be critical of the USDA than it is you because you got
that's
inspectors
right.
floating around there. All right, I got your drift. The other thing is that I'm going to make the assumption, knowing that it's never wise, that schools don't just typically have freezer space for 2,000 pounds of ground beef.
Some do, and some don't. That's where we're, you know, we're working with that. Some, the one in superintendent said, shucks, we're going to go out and buy an 18 cubic foot freezer, and we're going to put it down the hall, and we're going to, you know, so we've got a little extra storage. And so things like that can be supplemented too, you know, as they see the program work, and they kind of see, you know, and it, for me, if you, the other thing that we do that I haven't explained to you that is a little variety is we cut patties for the schools. And so it comes in a, it'll come in a bulk form and in a patty form. And some of the schools there, again, you've got a variance. Some want all patties so that when they serve, you know, if they don't have enough, if there's not enough donated beef there and they're working into this program, then they serve other meat for like tacos, different things that have meat in the meal.
Right.
And then certain times they have, you know, hamburger patties. So some of the schools went basically to all patties, and then they have a patty day, you know, a hamburger day. And you know, but when you look at it into knowing how many patties, you know, like maybe three times, if you got 200 kids in a school, three times of patties, you know, you're going to get up to that 200-300 pounds. So, you know, it's all working that out, to see, you know, exactly what, I guess, and it's going to take a year or two to kind of get that worked out and get it into a pattern.
Sure.
So that they can kind of work with, but they're kind of seeing that they may need some more space to do more than one, you know, more than one donated animal at a time.
Yeah, I can see where that would be needed.
Right. Now, Cody Kilgore set up really good up there, and they can hold, and we did four for them. And we got those all processed, and they all went at once. It was easier for delivery. It was easier, you know, the whole thing was easier. And they're pretty much set. They've been set here for 2 or 3 months, but they so happen to have enough room. They can put a lot of meat. So,
well, if you live in Cody, Nebraska, you are about a day's ride from a grocery store anyway. You have to have a big freezer just to live there.
Well, that's kind of true, but you know they fixed that, don't you?
No, I don't.
Yes, and that's a wonderful thing. That's a whole nother show, Trent. But the kids have a grocery store up there, and right there on the corner.
Really?
And it's neat, yes. They made it out of straw bales. You'll have to have a show on that one. That's a good one. But
so the
anyway,
kids,
it's
school,
very
the
neat.
The school kids actually built their
correct.
Own grocery store?
They run the grocery store. Yes, they do. And it's a neat deal because you go in there. I've never went in there, and they're not pleasant and trying to help you. And it's a small grocery store. It's made out of – they made it out of straw bales.
Mm-hmm.
And then they put stucco on the sides of the straw bales. Beautiful little store. They've got really nice cooler space. They've got all kinds of groceries. So it's a pretty neat little deal. But anyway, they, you know, they do have enough space over at the school. They can't mix, you know, any of this meat. That's we're talking about a whole different subject over there at the grocery store. But they do have, you know, enough space up there that they can keep a lot of meat there at the school. So
that's the second day in a row I'm completely embarrassed, Jim, on my own show, because yesterday I learned a friend of mine from Ohio, who's been a friend, by the way, for 30 years, literally.
Uh-huh.
We met 30 years ago this month. I just found out yesterday, and apparently the rest of the world knew, that his son, a farm kid from Ohio, got a bronze medal at the Rio Olympics in the 800-meter run.
That's great.
And I didn't even know it until I saw Mark yesterday. And
there
everybody's now saying, well, Trent, it was floating around Facebook. Where you been? Well, I guess not where I need to be. And now today you tell me in my backyard there's high school kids in Cody, Nebraska, who have a grocery store. I didn't know that either. I need
to
get out more, apparently.
They do. That is a very, very unique, really, really neat thing.
Huh. I'll have to go to the grocery store next time I'm up there.
You got to go to the grocery store in Cody. You do.
So, let's see. There was something along that line I was going to ask you, but now I lost it, I guess, because I got enamored with what I don't know. How many schools are you? Oh, I know what I was going to ask you, but I can't ask you in 1 minute left. How many schools are you working with?
There's seven. Seven different schools. I think there's, you know, it's pretty much all the way up down Highway 20, and then and I've had a couple more that have called, and we're talking to try to work them into the process. Something else that real quickly that they might want to know. A lot of the different schools are setting up like a, they can set up a sinking fund. Some of the schools are going through, the FFAs, different things like that to have a source of money there so that they can, like if you're a person in town and you don't have an animal, but you want to support it, then you can put your money there and it can help pay for processing, different things like that. So they're all setting up kind of, they've all got different ways of setting their fund up, but they've all pretty much got a fund set up. So that's one of the things that the school is interested in me to look into too, is how to, set their fund up. That's their part. I don't really, know a whole lot about it, but I know they are doing that.
And that is the perfect segue into what I wanted to talk about when we come back, the dollars and cents. I'm going to pretend that I'm the president of the school board. I've got questions for Jim Penny, Husker Meats, and the school nutrition program, donating beef on a local basis. We'll be back with more after this. I want to take this opportunity to remind you about the technological advancements and innovation that Kelly and I have brought into our own sow herd. You know that we have the computerized automated sow feeding system. I've had some people say, well, Trent, I just don't want to do that because I like the interaction with the sows. Well, we just don't carry 5-gallon buckets. We still go through the sows, we monitor them, and we learned the hard way that those tags that create the feed opportunity for sows, they can be lost. So you have to go through the sows regularly to make sure that, number one, they're in the correct body condition, because you can change that on an individual basis. Plus, when they lose a tag, they can get rather hungry after a couple of days. So you still need to have Animal Husbandry 101, but you don't need to carry 5-gallon buckets. That's the bottom line. Simplicity and reliability. That's the winning combination with the MPS Agra system electronic sow feeders that we use. MPSAgra.co.uk. MPSAgra.co.uk. Welcome back to Rural Route. I'm Trent Luce alongside Jim Penny, Ainsworth, Nebraska. Where he's coming to us from today. That's where he's at every day, making ground beef. Used to be
there
a day that I would be able to haul hogs into Jim. That was when he wasn't flooded with donated beef for the local school system. Don't you need some hogs again, Jim?
Pretty quick, Trent.
All right. I got a bull I need to get to winter, so we'll have to talk about that.
There you go. All right. They got to be spotted or Berkshires, though.
Yeah, okay. No problem.
Okay.
I got a good load of Berks right now.
There you go.
Just to kind of change the subject for a moment, and I don't think we're going to create any competition for you because, well, it's just the way that it is. I've got a friend in North Dakota, Bismarck, who has just opened a very similar shop to yours. He wanted to build a pretty sizable custom processing plant, and we were talking about it's a pretty big operation. And we're gonna cut a deal where I would haul him a load of pigs like once a month. And now he just started, so he's getting his feet wet. But I talked to him this week, and he said, "Well, Trent, we got to put that on hold because I haven't even really opened yet. We just kind of got things going. I got 34 beeves hanging in my cooler. It tells me, and I know that you know this to be true, there's a huge vacuum of people, because even in the plants that we go to on a regular basis, it's just tough to get space. I think you're in a gold mine, Jim Penny.
Well, we'd hope we could provide a good service for the people, and we try our best, and then let the chips fall, it's doing really, really well. We appreciate all the... We'll never quit appreciating all the local help, though, and the local support we get. Mm-hmm. Everybody around in the area supports us well, and we very, very much appreciate that. So I guess I'll never sit here and say, too many or whatever.
We got it made.
because without that support from the local area, the town and the towns around and the good people in our area, we wouldn't be anything. So when we quit appreciating our customer, that's where it ends.
Yeah. And so, I don't mean to make it sound like it's the new gold rush, because I know it's worse than any small business. There's a tremendous number of people that want to be your customers, that want to be supportive. But to be a small business in the food business today and dealing with in many cases, overzealous regulatory systems. It's just cost prohibitive. That's the bottom line.
It is. It costs us in testing. Costs us in everywhere you look. It you know, what's probably not right about it is we have to do a lot of the things that a bigger plant would have to do, and you know, we're pretty much local. We're probably never going to ship to Korea or do anything like that. You know, we're right here in Ainsworth, and you know, not saying that we don't send some meat out too, but it needs to kind of be a proportional thing, you know. And back to what you always say, if we could put more common sense in it, it would really work out better. But anyway, yeah, there's that, and then it's, you know, I think it might be second to milk and cows. I mean,
you gotta be here.
And so, you know, that's part of it, but, and we understand that, but yeah, it's a great little business. So
back to our original topic at hand, and it doesn't matter where we stray when we go forward, but if I'm president of the school board, this sounds like a great idea. I've got people donating cattle to be a part of my nutrition program at school, but there still has to be some cost in the process. What is it going to cost me? And I assume we could put it on a per pound basis to get this donated meat into my cafeteria.
Okay. What is it going to cost? And we've tried to keep that as simple as possible. It's going to cost, you know, you're the same amount to donate one and bring it through as it would if you brought it through our plant here. And then what we charge is $100 extra for the shipping, for the testing, and that type of thing that's done, you know, federally through the federal plant. Mm-hmm. So you're looking at, probably from, depending on the animal you bring, you know, you're gonna be probably from $400 to $700 to get that back. And so they're looking, you know, then what they usually do most of the time, they're again depending on the animal, but you know, you're gonna look at 350 to 450 pounds of finished product.
Right.
So if you divide that up, you know, then they're
dollar
kind of
to a dollar and a quarter.
Right. Pound. They're kind of seeing where that processing is going to be, and a lot of them look, you know, they try to compare that to what they're actually paying for the burger they're getting. You know, it's a whole lot more economical for a whole lot better product. So economically, it looks good to them too. So.
So they pay more, Jim, I'm sorry, they pay more than $1.25 for that 80% soy burger they're getting?
A little bit, for sure.
Are you kidding?
I'm not exactly sure on price, but yes. You know, it's not even worth talking about, knowing the quality to the quality.
Right.
It just blows. It's so out of whack that it's ridiculous. But you know, and once they see how that goes, how that cooks, all those different things, and you know, the way the kids like it, why there's not any comparison.
Yeah, absolutely. I assume when I asked the question that there would be a little bit of a premium, but people would say it's worth it because we have local support and we're providing a superior product to our students. But if it's actually cheaper than what they're currently getting, this is a no-brainer.
Right, exactly. You know, when you take, because the reason why that is because of our producers that are grateful enough to donate the animal. Mm-hmm. You know, and so if you would take that cost of that meat and then add the processing to it, you know, then you're going to be running out their head. But
right, absolutely.
That animal is being donated, you know, and we're trying to stay real reasonable on that processing and not, you know, not get out of hand on that, because we do want to help too. In fact, we had a little screw up here in Ainsworth, and we were supposed to be taking one, and it just didn't work out. Sometimes logistics, all the travel doesn't work out. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I had brought some of ours back, and had it there. And so we donated 350 pounds of our own meat, to the school, and got, you know, got firsthand right in it, and because we had never, you know, we'd never donated any. So we did that. We, you know, took up the slack, and now we've got more cattle coming through, and it, so the kids never ran out. So anyway, we support it good enough that we'll, you know, we may jump in it too if need be. So, anyway, the main thing for this whole thing, Trent, is for the kids. You know, that's what I see. We're helping the kids, and it's a great deal. So,
all right. So I'm a bipartisan kind of a guy. You know, I want to be on both sides of the aisle. So
there you go.
We have chicken. Or no, we don't have chickens. We have pigs and we have cattle. Uh-huh. I'm sure there are people listening that have chickens, that have lamb, that have pigs, that say, "Can I do the same thing?"
Here's what I was told and presented with, because I was really, really excited about some sausage mm-hmm. for breakfast. They do breakfast. You know, most of those schools have breakfast. And I got told that it might come in the future, but we better just go with this for now. So if we keep having guys like you out here promoting it and working at that, that certainly could come. And I certainly would be all for that also. As far as chicken, you know, lamb, I see no problem with that.
But it's not approved today through USDA.
It's not approved, at least for me to do. Maybe it, you know, I don't know. Maybe it is somewhere else. But it's not approved for me to do. It's something that I, you know, if that opportunity comes, I will jump on it. Mm-hmm. Definitely will.
So. No, you will not. Husker Meats is not going to let a poultry come in that door.
Well, I'm talking because of you, the hog. I got a chicken picker, though, and it's 30 miles away. So that's as close as I want to get to that thing.
Yeah, I thought your chicken pickers graduated. Oh,
yeah,
you're talking about a mechanical, not a kid.
Oh, okay. I've got the mechanical, the little rubber deals.
I got one, too.
If you get him in there and he's not just right, he'll just take skin like mad.
Yeah, that thing works amazingly well, doesn't it?
It's pretty good, yeah.
Yeah. So. All right, so where can people go? I got a minute and a half in this segment, just so you know. Where can people go for them to find out? Because we have people listening all around the country, actually. Where can they go get more information about this?
Probably your best thing to do would be, and I guess, you know, some of the schools that we have, they're probably, they could contact me if they'd like. They can also, you know, contact some of these different schools that are actually doing the program, and get their take on it. You know, what they're liking, what's how they did. Cause, you know, we had meetings and different things, but I actually, some of the different schools, I don't know, you know, the different things they went through, like as in setting that fund up. That's one there that they need to definitely talk to the schools. And there's a lot. I thought it was a really neat idea for the FFA chapters to jump in it.
Right.
And there's two schools right now that they're going to start. They're going to buy cattle, and the FFA chapter is actually going to grow those cattle and fatten the cattle. And they're going to keep records. They're going to go all the way through the FFA program, and then they're going to go into the lunch program. So that's an interesting type of thing. But, and there's probably other ideas out there too. You know, the more this thing grows, the more ideas will come. But yeah, they can contact myself. They can, you know, they can contact different schools that we're working with, and go from there.
And I would say that would apply in any state. Just contact your school. And they're going to know what channels that they can follow through on to find out what their state and federal requirements are going to be a part of this program. We're going to take
a
break. We've got one more segment left. Jim Penny, our guest, Husker Meats, Ainsworth, Nebraska. More about school lunch programs. The most exciting thing we've had happen yet in the USDA school lunch program. And once we get Sonny Perdue in place, we'll make some changes more after this. Yeah, today we're talking about feeding institutions because that's what a school is. Nobody understands feeding institutions better than the All-American Beef Battalion. The same type of bureaucracy exists, but we jump through the hurdles because we want to say thank you with American Beef to these individuals that have risked everything to protect your and my freedom. That's what the All-American Beef Battalion is really about. And if you would like to get involved, maybe donate a beef to the All-American Beef Battalion. Go to steaksfortroops.com. Full details and making it happen are all right there. Steaksfortroops.com. Welcome back to Rural Routes. I'm Trent Luce alongside Jim Penny joining us from Ainsworth, Nebraska. You know, just down the road from Bassett and Long Pine, for those of you out of state. Jim, you just brought up something that I hadn't even considered until you put it in that position. You know, FFA students, and we participate in showing livestock all over the country. In fact, we've got a pig sale, by the way, folks, next week on showpig.com. If your kid needs a pig for the summer type conference or World Pork Expo, go to showpig.com. That's just a blatant plug, Jim. You okay with me doing that?
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, Team Loose sale.
As long as you're talking about them Berkeys.
No, I don't put the
Berkeys. This guy has the best darn Berk hogs there is out there.
No.
These good stuff.
Jim, stop it. I don't put Berks on show pigs. I don't sell them as show pigs. I feed them out and eat them.
Why are you keeping all them Berks?
No, I bring them to you.
I see.
You missed the point. I don't waste them on a show pig. I take them to somebody that's going to eat them. Anyway.
You're cheating the folks.
Yeah. Team Loose, show pig sale next Thursday, February 23rd. All right, that plug's over. But, you know, so my point is that we appreciate, and I think that there's a huge opportunity for kids to be a part of a show, a junior livestock exhibition. But you just brought up a whole other facet of FFA programs, and it kind of ties into the school in Cody doing a grocery store. We need to do better at teaching our 4-H and FFA students about the food system as a whole. And, man, every FFA chapter in every school across the country should latch onto this and learn more about the very product that we produce on farms and ranches to feed people.
Definitely. That's, you know, that would be a super program. And also, you know, whether it's myself or whether it's wherever this animal is getting processed that these kids have in the FFA, you know, have followed, they need to make communication with that plant and be able to go in if they don't know. Most of the people that have plant or will allow them to come in, mm-hmm, and look at that carcass and actually study it and actually see what their feed did, actually see, you know, that type of thing. And I'd be glad, you know, we are in this area, our FFA, I've had them, you know, they've come up and we've actually done some grading on cattle and hogs, that were, you know, to try to get some interest there. They're working on, in the Ainsworth chapter, they're working on a little farm that they've, started up, and they're building, you know, building fence, doing that type of thing where they can actually put some animals out there. But it's a really neat tool to actually be able to, when you actually feed that animal and then actually watch and see what the carcass looks like, see what the meat looks like, you know, that helps you to gain a picture. So it'd be, you know, yeah, just, you know, add to that and work with the local processor that's doing their, school program and get in there and look at that meat. So, and see the carcass and see what you did. And so you can improve or change next time if you need to. So it's a great learning experience.
I know that it all falls upon leadership because FFA is a great program. But quite frankly, and I don't care who hears this, it's still dependent upon advisors and making it happen and creating opportunities for kids and stymieing kids and challenging, stimulating is the word I was looking for instead of stymieing.
There you go.
Challenging kids to be better. But this is the second no-brainer of the day for me, Jim. Every FFA chapter should be a part of whether the animal's donated or they raise it in-house. They need to be there when these animals are harvested. They need to see how all the grind takes place. I'm just plumb excited about this. I'm thinking all the things that I can be a part of doing now.
Sure. And, you know, they could, like here, if they want to, you know, if they would like to set a time up, and they haven't yet, but, you know, I know that could come in the future. And I know schools, they're busy. They're doing all kinds of things. But, you know, we can set a time up when we're actually doing that school meet, you know, and let them view us doing it. You know, there's, yeah, sure. It's back to your back to your causing me competition or anything like that. You know, you'd mentioned that, and I really, really, that's silly, because the more places, the more people, the more we're doing, it's just better for our product. You know, if somebody else, you know, would start this up too, there's different places in the state now that are doing schools. But the more of us we get, the more, you know, the more we're going to generate, the more it's just good for agriculture, good for cattle, and good for, you know, good for the kids and the whole nine yards. So
first and foremost, it's good for the kids.
Right.
Because I want to come back to where I started. We are failing our students when it comes to proper nutrition. All of the science today shows that protein and fat, we are deficient in those two arenas in our school lunch program. And when you have stupid statements coming out of Oakland, California, like they're making this very week, it just bodes to all of us as adults and understanding the science to find a way to make sure our kids are nutritionally fed properly. And we're not doing it.
Yep, you're right. And I would encourage, you know, it's great to sit here and listen to us talk or whatever, but I would encourage parents, people around the schools, because I'm guilty of this, Trent. You know, I just put it off as, yeah, that kid doesn't like it. So, you know, my kid doesn't like that food. Well, he could get along with it, you know. But actually go to your school and sit down with your kid and eat one day. And check the meat out, see what you think of it. And then when I did that is when my eyes opened and I said, wow, you know, that's incredible what we're feeding our kids. it's ridiculous. But
and furthermore, who feeds a kid less than 2 ounces of protein in one meal?
Right. And now you got to think this thing is a 1.99 ounce finished. I would like to know how much actual beef is in that thing. Uh-huh. I mean, it looks like, take me wrong, but it looks like a hockey puck. I mean, it's just not good.
Yeah, but in addition to that, I know that all school cafeterias are overcooking it in an abundance of caution from a food safety standpoint.
Correct.
And I know there's a fine line there, and I don't want to be the one responsible for making one kid sick, let alone 200 in a given day, but we could just pay a little more attention to our degree of doneness and make it a better eating experience for everybody as well.
True. And when you have, you know, when you have that type of product that you're cooking, it's a you know, credit to the cooks. I mean, it's a really hard product to cook with that, you know, with all the different things that are added to that. There's stuff added to it to try to help, you know, so somebody doesn't get sick if it mm-hmm. you know, it's too raw. So yeah, the additives in there, all the stuff that's in there, you know, that's it's just not good. But
so this is only relevant to a few people, but I guess across the line, I'm thinking of our listeners in Worthington, Minnesota, or could be in Iowa. You are on the Nebraska-South Dakota border. You're not very far, 45 miles, and you can be in Winter, South Dakota. I'm assuming that there's a wall between you and anybody in South Dakota. You can't cross the state line is my question.
No, I you know, and I haven't, I guess I haven't tried it, but can't is not a word that I use, Trent.
Well, I don't understand. Actually, thinking about it, Jim, I don't know why you would have a restriction, because if it's USDA inspected, the state line is really not relevant.
Well, it, you know, and there I will not say, because I would need to. I haven't ever had that question
right.
posed to me, so I would have to go through, you know, and check it out and see where I would be at that. But yes, that would not be a problem. I know, you know, I just off the cuff. I know that the Lunchtime Solutions people, you know, the head of that is based up there in Rapid City, and they have these schools down here, you know, Valentine, Ainsworth, and those different schools. So I don't know if that, you know, parts and region. I, you know, that would be something I'd have to check into.
Sure.
But it wouldn't be a problem for us to, you know, provided it was fine with everybody. It wouldn't be a problem for us to supply up there either. But that would be something that we'd have to check into. So,
all right, there's our 2-minute warning. Jim, is there anything that people are going to want to know that we have not stumbled across yet in this conversation?
Well, there probably is, but between you and me, we probably forgot it. It's probably something simple.
I'm not forgetful. I just didn't remember.
But, you know, I think we've covered everything pretty well, but, you know, we can sure call the plan here if you want, if folks want, and I'll try to help them or try to get them to, if I don't know, I'll try to get them to somebody that does. So, yes, because everybody, you know, everybody in this rural area, we're in a, you know, like you know, we're in a real rural area now. If we're in an area where it's more populated, you know, you probably got more regulations. You've got all kinds of different things. So we have to get somebody in that area that, you know, that would know for that area. But everybody in this area, the Sandhills, is very cooperative to this program. And so you can about talk to, you know, you can talk to inspection, you can talk to some of the producers, you can talk to schools, you know, plant here, you know, a lot of different sources. We can try to help the folks, and then they can, you know, in their area, try to work on it. So wouldn't it be wonderful? First is the kids, but look at what the producer out there is losing, Trent.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other thing. What would happen if we had a 5-ounce burger cooked versus a 1.9-ounce burger with soy and this added and that added? What would happen then with that increase of meat? Look at how much more beef the producer could put out in the United States.
Of course, he's donating it, so I'm not sure it would reward him.
Well, it probably would be. He needs to look at the spin off of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, those parents to those kids that are in it. This is talking more in a city type area.
Yeah.
But the parents, the kids come home and say, "Wow, that's awesome meat. Where'd it come from?" Well, okay, there you go. You know, it came from this and this and this producer out there. You never know where that might go. You know, the spinoff. So there's all kinds of things that could happen.
All right, here's what's going to happen right now. I'm going to tell you that we've exceeded our time. Jim Penny, always a pleasure. Husker Meats, check him out online. Most importantly, folks, we are at a time when people begin to once again remember it's grassroots America that makes a difference. If this is something that interests you, take it up as your cause. Contact your school board, your school cafeteria, and make it happen in your community. We've successfully journeyed down the road connecting rural and urban America. Both Jim Penny and myself remind you, all roads do lead to a rural route in Brown County, Nebraska. Just quickly reminding you about marketing your cattle the superior way. More details and find your rep at superiorlivestock.com. Have a great evening. See you tomorrow, Red Shirt Friday.